So with your devotionals, why don't you take your pens and circle verse 18, because we'll be going from verse 9 to 18. It'll help you just follow down there. The quote in the devotional today is pretty succinct. It's Matthew 13, 9. Anyone who has ears should listen. You know, there's so many times in Scripture that Jesus says that, and so many times that Jesus' angel says that too. It's almost as if he's saying, this is the information, this is the way it is, and you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to listen, and listen correctly. And that's what we're going to talk about today, proper listening. And I want to talk about my patients. I do something to my patients that they do not like. I started doing it lately. I tell them what the condition is. They're here. They come in to see me with something. They want me to fix it. Great. Okay. I don't know what I have. They're worried. They're in pain. So I tell them. I'll examine them. Maybe an x-ray is involved. Maybe an MRI, whatever. And then I will sit them down and I will tell them what the problem is. And what they need to do, did you hear that? To fix it. And I will help them. I will guide them, but I need them to listen. And proper listening depends on three things. Maybe you can employ that this morning. Proper listening. Hearing, understanding, and acting. Hearing, understanding, and acting. Now, when I'm done explaining what my patient has, I have some patients that, well, I'll go through this and I'll explain everything to them. And when I'm all done, they'll sit there and look at me and they'll say, yeah, but I just don't know what I have. I don't know what it is. So I've started doing something. I tell them and I explain the facts to them. And then when we're all done and they're getting up, they're getting ready to leave the office, and I'll say, now tell me what you have. And I will be able to tell if they heard, understand, and I don't know if they're going to act or not. Now, some of them, when I say that to them, give me no response. They're shocked. They say, what? I said, tell me what I just said to you. Tell me so I know that you know what you have. Well, that's one response is they didn't hear it at all. There has been no interaction between my word and them. None. There's another response. Number two response is they misunderstood completely. And I will get that when they say it back to me. Or I'll get it when they come back in to see me the next day, and then maybe they're worse. And I said, now you go home and apply ice to that condition. And they come in the next day and they're worse. And I'll say, what did you do last night? And I'll say, well, I sat in a hot tub for an hour. Okay? I knew that they misunderstood. So my words did them absolutely no good. There's a third response. They hear me. They understand me, they get it, but they fail to act. You need to follow this diet. You have this condition, you want to get over it, you need to eat this way. Here's a diet, here. They'll go home, they hear me, they understand me, but they don't act. What can I do for them? They didn't employ proper listening. Now, I have some patients who hear, who understand, and who act, who then do it, who follow my instructions. Here's exercises to help your back. They will then do them. There's a successful outcome for that patient because they heard, they understood, and they acted. So the fruit, or the parable that Teresa read talks about fruit. The fruit for them is what? If you go to see a doctor, what is the fruit that should result from that visit? Changed health, right? Changed health. And here is the point that we need to drive home today. The Holy Spirit wants to drive home to me. Okay? I'm speaking to me. Changed health, what I've learned after so many years of practice, affects the patient, yes. But you know who else it affects? Their family. those around them, those who they work with, those who they run into. So when their health is changed, they are better for it, and their relationships are better for it. So the crux of the matter for patients and doctors is changed health, which depends upon, I employ this morning, depends upon proper listening, hearing, understanding, and acting. Now, what about the great physician? Talked about the words of Jesus, the great physician. What is the crux of the matter for the great physician? Instead of changed health, well, we could say changed health. How about changed heart? Right? We talked about that last week. A changed heart is the crux of the matter for the great physician. That is the point of our faith. Ever and always, it begins and ends there. A changed heart. Who is affected by a changed heart? The person who has the change. Who else? Those around them. Those that they live with. Those that they work with. Those that they run into. So the fruit in that instance is a changed heart. The fruit in a physical instance is changed health. Get it? Got it? Are you employing proper listening? Because in order for us to have a changed heart, when we come in contact with the words of the great physician, it depends upon proper listening. That's what today's parable teaches us. Hearing, understanding, and acting. And Jesus says, that brings us to the parable of the sower, there are four ways that you can listen to God's word. Four ways that you can read scripture. Four ways that you can listen to any kind of a pastor speak. Hard listening. Number two, shallow listening. Number three, choked listening. And number four, good listening. And the interesting thing about this parable, and this parable is arguably one of Jesus' most famous parables. Each one of those soils, hard, shallow, choked, good, each one of those soils gets the same seed. They all get the same word. You are all right now getting the same word. But I guarantee you there are different levels of listening going on right now. You're hearing it differently right now. You're either employing one of those four listening techniques as you listen to these words. You're all exposed to the same verbiage that I'm giving you. But here's the thing. Each one of you will receive the words differently. Isn't that interesting? In this parable, the soil, the seed is cast. They all get the same seed. But they each have different antennas up, different attitudes. They receive the seed differently with different outcomes. Now, for the sower or the farmer, which I have taken up gardening lately. I had a gardening hiatus for a lot of years because we just had too many boys, and I could not spend any time gardening. But now, I've been getting back into gardening. Now, some of you are gardeners. What's the point of a gardener? What do you want from a garden? Do you want plants? Or do you want crop? Obviously, you want crop. You want fruit. This sower is throwing the seed out, and in order for a crop to be produced, it depends upon that seed interacting with the proper soil. Got it? The seed and the proper soil have to interact. And when that happens, when those two things click, just like in a garden, a crop results. Fruit results. Now we're going to find out in this parable, and this is vital and important. Get this next concept. there is interaction between the seed and three of these soils. There's interaction. The shallow soil produces a plant. The thorny soil produces a plant. But the plant is not the point. It is only the crop or the fruit that matters. Because ever and always, Jesus is calling us to mission. Mission. And that's what this parable is about. What did he say in the Sermon on the Mount about the houses that are built on sand and the houses that are built on rock? He says, if you hear these words of mine and act on them, you're like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. Let's go through these four soils. And let's see what is happening. And you put yourself on this map. I know where I am on this map. And I'll tell you something interesting about this. I vacillate back and forth between the soils. I bet you do too. I would like to think I'm good soil all the time. No, I'm not. I would like to think that I'm never hard soil, but I am. Let's go through this. Chapter 13. Jesus has such large crowds following him that he has to get into a boat and go out into the water a little bit so the crowds don't crush him. And he's in the boat and he starts to teach them about the different ways of listening. Consider the sower. He went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seeds fell along the path. We're going to take each one of these soils and see where you are at this morning. I know where I'm at this morning. He takes some of the seed and he throws it and it falls along the path. And the path, that is hard listening. The soil is so hard that there's no interaction between the seed and the path and the ground. Nothing. Nothing happens. There's no plant. And the seed, what happens to the seed? It's the birds come and the birds gather the seed up and the birds eat the seed and the birds fly away. This is a person who is so concerned about what other people are doing. What is a path used for? What is a footpath used for? The comings and goings of people. The activities of people. You know what will stop the word quicker than anything from interacting in our listening? When we focus on what other people are doing. Do you find that to be true in your own lives? That is eminently true in my life. When I start focusing on what this person should or should not be doing, that seed has no interaction in my heart, none at all. This is the person they hear, period. There's no intervention between the seed, no interaction with the seed and the soil. They don't misunderstand. They don't understand at all. It's as if they never even heard the word. And that word is snatched away from them. Does this resonate with any of you? It does with me. You know, when I'm in that hard soil state, and even if I would sit down to read scripture, if I'm focusing on the footpath, if I'm focusing on what other people should or should not be doing, it's like Hamlet said, the heavens are brass. It is absolutely true. And I find that that word is snatched away. And there's been no interaction whatsoever. Some of the seed, verse 5, others fell on rocky ground, where there wasn't much soil, and they sprang up quickly. I want you to circle a word. Since. The reason this seed springs up quickly, since, is because the soil wasn't deep. Well, how does that happen? Why would this plant spring up quickly if the soil isn't deep? But when the sun came up, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered. In Palestine, or Jesus is telling this story. There was some soil that had a very rich topsoil layer, about this much. And underneath the topsoil was a hard bed of rock. Now, the topsoil, because it was laying on top of this hard bed of rock, was very rich in nutrients. It would collect the rainwater, it would collect the nutrients, the vegetation, it would die, and it would be very rich. And a plant, a seed that would fall in that, you see, since it was that type of soil and so rich in topsoil and nutrients, it would spring up immediately. Now, the problem with that is this. The root of that plant never has to dig deep to get nutrients. How do you read Scripture? Now listen to this. And who do you listen to? You see, there's much in Scripture that makes us spring up quickly, isn't there? There's much in Scripture that is just to be completely joyous about. And here's the problem as I see it. There are those out there who will teach you shallow soil listening. These are the charismatic teachers that know exactly what you want to hear. And they'll respond to exactly what you want to hear. They will give it to you and nothing more. They'll only give you what you want to hear. And that springs us up. That's shallow listening. These are people that put their worldview on Scripture. You ever know people like that? This is my worldview, and Scripture is going to back it up. And Scripture can back up, by the way, any worldview, depending on how you pick and choose verses, right? What is Scripture supposed to do? Scripture is supposed to inform our worldview. It's to make our worldview. Now, let me give you an example. There's a popular evangelist. He writes books. Very charismatic speaker. Thousands of people pack his auditorium to listen to him speak. And I heard him interviewed. And the interviewer asked him, actually, it seems like in your preaching, you only give good news. You only give the good side of things. And he says, that's my call. That's my call to tell people and call them to the joy that is held in the Word. His preaching is about this. In this book is a way for you to have a successful life. God wants the best for you. In this book is a way for you to have health, wealth, and happiness. And look at me, because I'm the speaker now. I am an example of this. And if you just plug into Scripture and you try this religion, it's going to improve your lifestyle. It's going to improve your financial situation. That's a big one. See, they know their environment. Those speakers know who they're speaking to. They know what they want to hear. And the people listening, hearing this, have to put down no root. It's all laid out. Here it is. Here's the topsoil. Here's the nutrients. It's all good. And the minute, what Jesus says happened to these plants, the minute the sun comes up, the minute they find out their bank accounts aren't bigger, the minute they find out it's not about health, wealth, and prosperity, they wither. There must not be anything to this Scripture. They have no root in themselves. Look what Jesus says, verse 20. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. His root is where? Do you have a vicarious faith? I talked about this at Harper's funeral 2 weeks ago. And I challenged my brother and his wife, Carrie. And I said, it won't do any longer for you to have a vicarious faith. It will no longer do for you to glom onto what Tim believes or what your father believes, Carrie, or what your mother believes, Carrie. You see, you need to have root in yourself. Here's the problem. If you plug into one of these charismatic speakers, you're actually, your faith is based in what? In them. In what they have said. And the reason it's based in them and what they've said is because you've not put down any root yourself into Scripture. Why? Because you didn't have to. Let me tell you my own experience with Scripture, and I think Teresa would back this up because we've talked about this before. You know, in order for me to give a message like this today, for instance, and take this for what I'm saying it for, I'm not lauding myself in any way when I say this. I am just telling you my experience with Scripture. It takes weeks for me to live in the parable of the sower in order for me to get a root into that passage. Do you see that? Now the danger for us is that you come and you hear me talk about the parable of the sower. You say, well, Tim said this is the way it is, therefore my root is in him. No. The point of coming to church, and when you hear me talk about these things, the point is that you go home. That's why we have, and thank Carolyn for doing this, that's why we have the Scripture on the back of your devotional. This is just to whet your appetites. You are then to go home and challenge everything that I said. I told Mark and Carrie that. I said, you need to question everything you were ever taught in order for you to gain your own faith and understanding, in order for you to get your own root. And I would invite you to do that with my speaking. Take these devotionals home, tear it apart, live with it, see if it jives with what I said. Because Jesus is saying here, you have no root in yourself, and you sprang up quickly. And because you sprang up quickly, what else happens quickly? Yet he has no root in himself, but is short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes, are you following here? Verse 21. When pressure or persecution comes, where does that pressure or persecution come from, by the way? Isn't this interesting? From the word. Immediately he stumbles. Wait a minute. I thought you told me that if I came to church, if I had this faith, that everything would come up roses for me. And Jesus says, the opposite is going to happen because you have no root in yourself. Do you remember when Jesus in John, this is an example of this kind of listening, and people were coming to him and he was feeding them, remember? He gave them the loaves and the fishes. You have got to be very careful of going and listening and glomming on to a speaker who gives you loaves and fishes. Because that's all they're giving you. They're keeping you engaged. You know, the church service, it is glitz and glamour. The church service, it is entertainment. The church service that keeps the experiences coming and tells you exactly what you want to hear. They know their audience. They know the environment they're speaking in. They come back the next day to Jesus after he gave them the loaves and the fishes. This time he doesn't give them any food. They heard a little bit of the word when he gave them the loaves and the fishes. He gave them the good news, so to speak, of the gospel. And they sprang up quickly. They come back the next day, and he gives them, like Paul Harvey would say, he gives them the rest of the story. And this time he doesn't give them any loaves and any fish. And what do they do? What do they do when Jesus gives them the whole story of Scripture? You know what the whole story of Scripture is in a nutshell? We are here to serve him. He does not serve us. We serve him because he commanded it. No promises, no guarantees of what will happen in your life. In fact, Jesus says, the word will bring pressure. The word will bring persecution. Because if you are a vocational Christian, and Paul hammers on this so many times in his writings, he says, if you're a vocational Christian, you will experience persecution. We look at the beatitude and the ladder that Jesus laid out. You know the beatitudes? You think that if we follow this, watch this shallow listening. What are the beatitudes? Poverty of spirit, mourning, meekness, hunger and thirst for righteousness, merciful heart, a pure heart, a peacemaker. And then you would think, well, the Holy Spirit has wrought all of these changes in my life. Certainly the eighth beatitude is going to be health, wealth, and prosperity. That's what they're going to tell you, because that's what you want to hear. You know what the eighth beatitude is? When the Holy Spirit has done all of these things in your life, here's what you can expect. Persecution. The eighth beatitude. The top of the ladder. You're blessed if you're persecuted. Because when the Holy Spirit really changes your heart and you take the totality of Scripture inside of you and you allow that word to interact with you, you are at odds with the world. You will be at odds with the world. And the result for you will be persecution. So they come back to Jesus the second day. He doesn't give them any food. He gives them the full story of Scripture. And the Scripture is very clear. He said, John says, at that point, many of his disciples, what, Teresa? Left him. Deserted him. They stumbled immediately when they got the full story of Scripture. And Jesus turns to the 12. This is heart-wrenching for Jesus. Can you imagine how discouraging it must have been for him? When he understood human nature to that extent, that when I stop giving the glitzy experiences, he turns around and he's left with how many? He had hundreds there for the food. He turns around after giving the full message of Scripture, and there's 12. And he says to them, will you leave me too? Shallow listening. Misunderstanding. There's a plant produced. And you might think because you come to church, my dad used to call them, they would come and warm a pew. They come, the plant comes, it warms a pew. You think, well, at least the word is interacting with me. At least I have a plant. No. The plant is not the point. The point is the crop. What other kind of soil? The third kind. Others fell, verse 7, others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them. Verse 22, we go over to that. This is a type of soil. Now the one sown among the thorns, this is to me the most dangerous one. And I want you to notice that the thorns are already there. The seed is sown, and you are listening. This type of person listens with thorns. They're already there. I think that this is ubiquitous in our nation. What are the thorns, Jesus says? Well, they're the pressures of, no, they're the cares of this world and the seduction of wealth. And the seed, the word of God, is listened to by this person, and all along, there's a conflict because they're worried about making it in this world's culture and being successful and the seduction of wealth. Those are the thorns. What happens? This is the one who hears the word, verse 22. But the worries of this age and the seduction of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I want you to notice the nuance here. The shallow soil, the plant from shallow soil, the persecution and the pressure comes from the word. The thorny soil, the persecution and pressure comes from the world. And there's a plant produced again. There's interaction between this thorny soil and the word. There's interaction. and a plan appears. This is the rebel to the end. They hear, they understand, and they take no action. Hearing is good. Understanding is good. But together, without action, the plant is choked. And believe me, the farmer, the one who is sowing this seed, takes no interest in that plant. I had a squash plant in my garden last summer. Huge. It was an acorn squash. Beautiful plant. Did not produce one squash. So for me, the gardener, how would I look at that plant? It was just taking up nutrients. It was taking up space. It was not helping me in my cause one little bit. To how many Christians? Hear it. You hear this. You understand it. But there's no action. Well, I don't know what to do. There are plenty of opportunities to produce fruit in a crop. It is a volitional choice on your part to either do it or not do it. And Jesus says, that plant is of no use to me. There's interaction. The seed hits the soil. The plant comes up. The thorns come up too. It chokes the word. It chokes the plant. No crop, no fruit. Last kind of listening. Number 8. Still others fell on good ground and produced a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. And then Jesus gives this cryptic warning. You know, I just told you a parable all about listening, he's saying. I told you there's 4 ways that you can listen to my word. There's 4 ways that you can interact with my word. And I'm telling you, Jesus says, if you got ears, you better listen to what I'm saying. Because in the end, it will come down to the crop, the fruit. Verse 23. But the one sown on good ground, this is the one who hears. Good. What is the second thing? You might want to do your circling here. Hears, circle. Understands the word, number 2. And then what? They act. They bear fruit. They're willing to do what the Holy Spirit has pulled them into service to do. They do produce fruit. What is the fruit? A changed heart. What is the crop? A changed heart. What does that result in? Well, that results in everything that a good heart does. All of the many things that a good heart compels us to do. Hear, understand, and act. Here we have 4 soils. And of the 4 soils, and you've listened this morning, you've employed one of these listening techniques this morning. Hard, shallow, choked, or good. Only 25%, 1/4 of the people who hear this message that I'm giving today, or is given over 100 sermons today, only 25% of those who hear it are going to actually produce a crop. Now, let's close with what this means for us in evangelism, and I'm going to take some pressure off of you, because I know this is an issue with you. It is with me. It was with me. Here's what I've come to when I study the parable of the sower. People are going to do what they want to do. John Wayne said that. John Wayne said, I learned a long time ago, just let people do what they're going to do because they're going to do it anyway. Your job is the sower, so to speak. You give the word. You don't change it. You don't give them just the shallow good news of the gospel. You give the word. I'm giving the word, my job. How you receive it, How you listen is out of my control. Jesus says that himself. It's out of Jesus' control. Take some pressure off yourself with evangelism. Hold true to the word. Give it. That's our responsibility. That is our job. We're to sow that seed. But it has been my experience to try and get somebody to listen correctly is impossible. It is a matter of their attitude. It is a matter of what state they're in at the present time when they hear the word. If they're listening hard, there's no interaction, nothing. If they're listening shallow, they're going to hear what they want to hear. They're going to pick out what I say, just what they want. If it's choked listening, they might hear it and they're going to understand it, but they're going to make a volitional decision, I am not going to obey. That's the choked word. I just choose not to obey. The good ones, the good listeners are going to hear it. The Holy Spirit is going to act, is going to convict their hearts, and they are going to produce fruit. In your evangelism, I think that what we need to do, and what I've learned to do, which has helped me, maybe it'll help you, I've let go of results. Can we do that? That's hard. But I think we need to let go of results, because we need to understand that it is the seed hitting the right soil that produces the crop. And the right soil, the right listening technique is completely out of our control, completely out of my control, completely out of your control. Sow the seed. Be the light, be the salt. And people will respond under the auspice of the Holy Spirit, or they will rebel under the auspice of the enemy. But ever and always, we hold true to our task. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you would bless these words and anoint them with your Spirit and speak to my heart on this, Lord, and change my heart. We ask this in your name, amen.